to have a copy of God's Word, the Bible that is, New Testament in its entirety offered to you freely and without any cost or any obligation to you. Yours for the taking. If you'd like one, please do feel free to come and ask for one. It is God's Word. It is the truth. The truth, Jesus says, that will make a man free. Free, that is, from the bondage of sin, and free, that is, from the consequences of sin. It's offered to you without any cost and any obligation to you. You're simply for the taking and to do it as you will. But who knows, maybe as you were to read God's Word, maybe perhaps God would cause the light to shine into your heart and mind and reveal the knowledge of Himself to you, as He alone can. Nobody else can give you that knowledge but God Himself. You do not know what's in the mind of the person sitting next to you. You might make a guess. You might examine their body language and come to some kind of conclusion as to what you think they're thinking. But unless they tell you, you don't really know what the person next to you is thinking. How much less do you know the mind of God? Unless He speaks, unless He tells you. Some people do make guesses, you know. Some people make assumptions. That's where all your world religions, all your sects and cults come from. People who think that they know what God would have us to do. But you see, without God's own revelation, religion without revelation does not save people. Without God speaks, unless God tells us what is in His mind, then we cannot know. But God has made His mind known to us. He's given us His Word, the Bible, for that very reason, so that you might know the mind of God. And of course, that's salvation for those, that is, who will put their trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He sent into the world to be the Savior of the world. That through, by the way of repentance and faith towards Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that you might be saved, delivered, that is, from sin, from your captivity in sin, and from His consequences too. That's what the Bible, you see, really is about. Not so much religion as your world religions, but rather the revealing of the mind of God, what God would have you to know. And of course, well, He says this in the New Testament, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Knowing, see, knowledge is necessary. You can't be saved without knowledge. You can't have faith without knowledge. You know what to believe, would you? And of course, unless the preacher comes and tells you, the Bible says, how will they know what to believe? If you can believe in Santa Claus, I guess many of you perhaps do. You know, some people, they tell me that they don't believe in what they cannot see. So I guess what that means, they don't believe in love. You can't see love, can you? Do you believe in gravity? Don't put that to the test, will you? You can't see it, but believe me, it's there. You jump off the top of that building there, you'll soon find out. No, there are things, you see, invisible things that we know exist. But knowing, you see, knowledge is imperative for faith. You have to, knowledge comes first. You have to know what to believe. And of course, you get all kinds of people making claims about God in His name, in the name of His Son, and so forth. And you might say to yourself, well, how on earth can anyone possibly sort it out, you know, as to what the reality is, the truth is, what God has actually said. And now, of course, well, as I say, that's where the Bible comes in, because the Bible is the ultimate touchstone. That's the ultimate authority, you know, to the law and to the testimony, the Bible, that is. If they don't speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Gospel light, that is, true light. The light that leads to salvation. Even the light of the world. Even Jesus. He, you see, is the one who the Bible is about. And it's through a knowledge of Him that people come to know eternal life. This is eternal life, He says, that they might know God, and that they might know His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He sent into the world. So knowing, you see, that's the first thing. You need to have knowledge. And as the Bible says, unless a preacher comes and tells you. Because here you are, maybe you do have a Bible, I don't know. And maybe perhaps you've never even read it. Maybe it just lies gathering dust on a bookshelf somewhere. Or maybe you'll get around to reading it sometime, but not yet. No knowledge, you know. And of course, unless the preacher comes, you know. And of course, well, this is what God has commanded us to do, His servants, His ministers, you know, to go into all the world and preach the gospel so that people might know. Know what? Well, know the facts, know the truth, know that which leads to salvation, knows the truth about themselves and the truth about God. I mean, how would you know what God is like? I mean, He's invisible, He's a spirit being, so how would you know what He's like? How do you put flesh on Him? Well, again, the Bible, you see. Within the Bible, you see, you have the light of nature. You know, you have the world in which you live, the universe with all its beauty that shows to you the wisdom and the power of God, you see, and leaves all men without excuse. Whoever they be, wherever they live, whether they've got Bibles or not. But here's the thing, you see, friends, that you can't without the Bible, you can't come to a saving knowledge, a right knowledge, that is, of God. It's only it's the reason why God has given us the Bible, you see, and why God has His servants, you know, sent into all the world to proclaim the message of the Bible so that men might know exactly what it is that they have to believe. But, you know, even without that, God says you still got no excuse. Well, you see, it's the Bible that puts flesh on God, and even more importantly, God's Son, Jesus Christ, who does that. He is the revelation of God, ultimately, you know. He's the express image of God. So you see, what was He like? Well, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you will. And see there, you know, the person of Jesus, His purity, His power, you know, the wonders that He works, you know, and all the good things that He does. And of course, ultimately, His death and resurrection, His rising from the dead. There you see God manifest, revealed, that is, in the flesh. But then knowing yourself, that's another thing that you need to know, you see. Because so many of us, we live under this delusion, you know, that we're okay. You know that? That's what the most people say to me. You know, when I talk to them, you know, about the gospel and their need to be saved, then of course, I'm okay, you know. I'm good to go, you know. I wish you were. You know, and of course, the other thing is, well, I'm a good person, you know. Hey, what's wrong with me? You know, and, well, put that to the test, if you will. How many lies have you told? One single lie will keep you out of heaven forever. Huh? You ever stolen anything, big or small, no matter? Well, that will keep you out of heaven, too. You ever lusted after the opposite sex? Or the same sex these days? That will keep you out of heaven, too. So you see, friends, that you know there's no such thing as a good person. Such doesn't exist. There's none good, says God. None good, none righteous, no, not one. All of us conceived and born in sin, and therefore we're children of wrath. So you see, that's the true knowledge. But you didn't know that until I told you. You know, so you see, it's the Bible, it's the Word of God that you need. And of course, for the preacher to come and tell you what it is that you need to believe. To point you to, the Word of God written, and to point you to the living Word of God, even Jesus. The one, of course, who can save you and bring you to a right knowledge of God, the invisible God. But all men, you see, regardless of this, the Bible says, God says that all men are without excuse. Because of creation, because of all the things that God has made, that leaves you without excuse. That's true. You just got to look in the mirror and you see a man, woman, made in the image of God. Not a brute beast, you know. You didn't used to be a monkey, an ape. That's all hogwash, and you know it. You know it right well. You know it fine and well. That's a load of tosh. Huh? It's not even scientific. It's a load of garbage. You know, handed you on a plate to blind you further to the reality of God. And, of course, of His salvation and of your own desperate, desperate need. So you see, no excuse, none of us. We all know, everybody knows that God is. You know He is just the same as I do. But you hold the truth, says God. You hold the truth down. You suppress the truth in unrighteousness because of what you are, because of that nature of yours in which you are conceived and born. You hold the truth in unrighteousness, and because of that, the wrath of God is upon you. Revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. So you see, friends, you see the trouble that you're in? Here you are, you're conceived and you were born in sin, and therefore a child of wrath, even from the moment of conception, never mind birth, never mind having thought your first thought or spoke your first word. You were a sinner when you were conceived in your mother's womb. Now some people say, you know, that a fetus in its mother's womb is not a child. That's why they abort them. That's why they kill them. That's why they slaughter them today in their millions. They say it's not a life, you know. But God says it's a sinner. At the moment of conception, the moment that you were conceived in your mother's womb, then you are a sinner. But you see, it seems to me like it is life, and it seems to me like abortion is murder. But that's another sin. We won't go into that today. But knowing, you see, knowledge, the knowledge has been given to us. We have the Bible, we have the Word of God, and you have had it for, well, many a hundred years here in dear old England. You know, for something like 400, maybe getting on for 500 years. And of course, there was a time in England when I would meet you spoken these things that I'm speaking today. They would be ABCs. Everybody, even a child, would know these things back then, but not now. Not now, because godlessness has gripped your society. Now you're entrenched in this dreadful, dreadful unbelief. Ask yourself the question, are you any better off for it? Is England a better place for its godlessness? Has it made its people kinder people, more loving people, more trustworthy people, more honorable people? Has it made them men and women of integrity? Is that what you see in your godless society today? A better England than former days when England had the Bible and believed it. I suggest to you that England's glory has long, long ago departed because of her unbelief, because of our entrenchment in this godlessness. Jesus says in another place, by their fruits ye shall know them. Examine the fruit, you see? You hear something, somebody tells you something. How do you know whether it's good or bad? Well, you examine the fruit, you know? And you examine the fruit of this godlessness that you're all learning, you know, that you've all subscribed to. Examine the fruit of it. Has it made you a better person? Kinder? Forgiving? Loving? Good? Righteous? No, I don't think so, friends. In fact, the contrary, I think it's made England worse. And I hear people, not necessarily Christians, but I hear people day by day telling me what a disgusting, what a revolting state England's in today. People are not happy with it. But of course, that doesn't mean to say they want the cure. Or you can see the wrong, you can see the bad fruit. But of course, accepting the cure, that's another matter altogether. But knowing, you see, knowledge, without knowledge, you have to have a knowledge of God, you have to have knowledge of yourself, and you have to have a knowledge of what God has prescribed, you know, as the cure. You know, for the state of godlessness. And of course, well, all the fruit that comes from that, you know, the immorality, the sin, of course, that abounds in your land, in your country, in your nation today. So knowing, says God, knowledge is the first thing. Knowledge that a man is not justified. What does that mean? Justified? To justify somebody or something is to make them right. If I justify something, I make it right, you know, because, why? Because it's not right. To justify somebody is to make them right, well, because they're not right. And we need to be justified before God, that is, made right before God. Why? Because we're not right. Why? Because we're conceived and born in sin, children of wrath. As a result of that, we come into the world shaping in iniquity, in rebellion against our Maker. We're sinners to a man, to a woman. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, God says. So we're not right, you see. We need to be made right. We need to be justified. So there's the $64 million question. How does a person get justified? How does a person get right with God? Is that something you have to do yourself? Can you correct yourself? Can you make yourself right? Can you change your nature? Can you change your practice? You see, to be ungodly, to be unrighteous, to be on the wrong side of God, means that a person is contrary to God. That's on the wrong side of God, opposite to God, contrary to God in their nature and in their practice. Well, pray tell me how anybody in this world, in this planet, can change their nature. Can you bring a clean thing out of an unclean, says God? No, that's impossible. Can you change the spots on a leopard? You say, no, that's his natural state. That's his nature. You can't change that. Well, how? How can you, who are accustomed to doing evil, says God, how can you possibly do good? For you, this is impossible, you see. Because you've got a simple nature, a nature that hates God, and a nature that hates your neighbor, too. So you see, friends, to change the nature, for you this is impossible. But as the Bible says, nothing shall be impossible with God. The possibility lies with Him, but not with you. To be justified, that is to get right with God. But it's not something that a man or woman does themselves. It's impossible. They cannot. They haven't got the power. They haven't even got the desire. Would that you had the desire to be right with God today. That would be half the battle, but you don't even have that. You don't even have the desire. Couldn't care less. I would imagine is the attitude of mind of the most of you. God can take a fly. I don't care. I don't care. Well, not now, but of course, well, when you meet them, then you will care. And of course, the moment you die, the moment you breathe your last, you shall meet him. You'll stand before him in judgment, and of course, well, you'll care then, but then that's too late. It's now that you've got to care. It's now that you need the desire to get right with God to be justified. So you see, friends, God changed the nature. When you change the nature, then you change the practice. But the practice will never change until you change the nature. You know, we see animals doing things, and what do we see, you know? Things that human beings wouldn't do, you know? And you say, well, that's its nature, you know? That's its nature, you know? It does these things naturally, you know? Well, by nature, you see, you're a sinner, and sin is what you do quite naturally. You know, you can't help yourself. Not until that is, God changes your nature. That's why Jesus says, you see, that you must be born again. It's a miracle from God, you see. Not just religion, we'll come to that in a moment. But, you see, friends, it's more than just becoming religious, more than just attending a place of worship, you know, going to church or something like that, saying your prayers. No, friends, it's something that God does. Through the gospel, through the proclamation of the gospel, through what I'm doing here today, that God takes hold of a man or woman, changes their nature supernaturally, powerfully, and gives them a new heart, new desires. Born again, as Jesus says. New nature, nature that loves God, desires God, hungers and thirsts after God, a nature that desires holiness, that desires to be right with God. But not until God does something in you. So knowing this, that a man is not justified, made right with God, that is, by the works of the law. That is by, you know, your own doing. You might say, well, you know, I'll get hold of my Bible, I'll read those Ten Commandments, and I'll implement them in my life. I'll do what they say, you know, to have no other gods before God, and no idolatry, no adultery, no thieving, stealing, no coveting. I'll obey all of these commandments. Would that you could, but you cannot. Because you would not get past, oh, believe me, you wouldn't get past the first hour. Never mind the first day, never mind the rest of your life. But then, of course, you got past sin. You get past sin to consider. You've been a sinner all your life. How old are you? I don't know. 80, 40, 20, 10? Doesn't matter. However long you've been living in sin. You've been living in sin. So all that sin has to be accounted for. Somebody has to deal with it somehow. So how is that going to be dealt with? You see? But then, of course, well, for you to seek to implement those commandments, God says quite clearly here that a man is not made right with God by the works of the law, by their own doing. And of course, some people, of course, they live that way. Oh, they're very religious. Sorry.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course, can, ma'am.
What church do you...
My church is in Scotland, madam. Free Church of Scotland. Continuing.
I know you're preaching the Bible, but...
Yes.
Yep. I struggle to put it in words.
Okay.
What's the...
What's the word? Christ died for the ungodly. Christ, the person, Jesus is his name.
Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior, accepted, and then he goes to heaven?
No, you need to be born again.
Yeah, that's right.
You need to be born again, and you need to repent, and you need to believe
then
in Jesus. Yeah.
And after, what do you do?
Well, you live according to God's word. You know, you live in obedience to God.
Submission. What interpretation is your church giving it? That's the question. I mean,
well, what part of it? What part of the Bible? All of it, the whole Bible. The whole Bible.
So do I.
Yeah, the whole Bible from beginning to end. But, you know, there's no exceptions. It's submission to God's will. But we can't do that We can't do that until we're born again. We don't even have the desire to do that until,
I know, you don't,
until we've been born again.
I used to be a pastor.
Oh, okay, okay.
So that's why I'm just asking the Dutch Shell
question. Okay, okay.
What,
you used to be a pastor?
Yeah, well, I still am. Yeah,
really?
What makes you...
What do you make of 2 Timothy?
Oh, I haven't got time to get into it.
Okay. Okay. Well, just say that I suffer not a woman to teach, like, you know.
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean you can't be a pastor.
Does it not? That's how I read it.
Well,
that's how I read it. But you see, obedience to God's word, you know.
It's got to do with literally being
dominated. Oh, no, nobody's. No, woman's to live in submission to her husband.
That's
and
why I said you didn't listen
submission to God.
You
yeah,
carefully.
Yeah.
What's husband and yeah. wife came into the same ministry that we were working in?
But that, you know,
so
but no, sorry, that doesn't cut. A woman doesn't hold the office of a teacher.
No.
There you go. Obedience to God's word, that's the test, you see. Friends, that's the test that a person has been born again, that a person has repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is submission to the authority of God's word. And if that's not there, you know, then, well, I'm sorry, but that person is deluding themselves, you know, kidding themselves on. But anyway, before I was interrupted, I was saying, yeah, that a man is not justified, made right with God, that is, by the works of the law, that is, by their own doings. But like I was saying, you see, there's people that live that way. All your world religions, every one of them. Islam, Rome, Buddhism, Confucianism, the Watchtower Society, they're all telling you, do. This is religion. Religion without revelation. Do, they say. Do this and you will have God's favor. Do this and you'll be right with God. Do this work and you'll be right with God. Well, that's contrary, you see, to what the Bible is saying right here at this very point, that no man will be justified by his or her own doing. Doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter how long you do it, doesn't matter how good you do it, you might be the best at it, you might be the most religious person in the world. No, when Jesus said you must be born again, he was talking to a religious dude then. He was very, very religious. I would say more religious than anybody in the town of Cannock today. He was a teacher of religion. And when Jesus said to him, you must be born again, he was clueless. He didn't understand, you know, what Jesus was talking about. And so Jesus had to educate him, you know. That he had to be born again. He needed light from above. He needed his nature to be changed. You know? So friends, you can be religious, you see, and you can work very, very hard at your religion, but it don't get you no brownie points with God. Not at all. There is not one iota of salvation. Yeah, rightness with God in any one of your world religions. Outside of the gospel of God's Son, Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. That, of course, is what the Bible goes on to say, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. The faith in the Son of God. That's how a person gets right with God. And no other way. Trusting in the work of someone else. Not your work. Not my work. Not religious work or otherwise, but the work of somebody else. Because the work has been done. Somebody has done it. Who? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's what he came into the world for. He lived that blameless life, that life that you and I cannot live. He lived without sin completely, in thought and word and deed. He was utterly sinless, no sinful nature in him. That's why he didn't have a human father. That's why he was born of the Virgin and conceived of the Holy Spirit. Because you see, friends, there had to be no sin in him. or he could not bear the sins of the world on the cross. But he came to do the work, and he did the work. He lived that blameless life. He died on the cross, gave himself up to the death of the cross, suffered and bled and died so that your sins could be accounted for, past, present and future, so that you could be forgiven, washed and one day go to heaven because you're right with God. And of course rose again from the dead in order that you might be justified, made right with God, how? By faith in Jesus Christ. So it's faith, you see, it's faith that justifies. It's faith that makes a person right, not works. Not good works, such as charity, religious works, or any other kind. Faith and faith alone justifies, makes a person right with God and nothing else. Faith, that is. Not faith in the man on the moon. Not faith in evolution. Not faith in the Watchtower Society. Not faith in Muhammad. Not faith in the popes of Rome. But faith in Jesus Christ alone justifies, makes a body right with God. So faith, you see, faith, trusting in the work of somebody else, trusting in a perfect work, because it takes a perfect work to make a person right with a perfect God. And only Jesus Christ has produced that perfect work. Only He, and He alone, what He did, will ever make you right with God. That is when you trust in His person. Like I was saying to the lady just a few moments ago, this is the gospel, friends. And the gospel that you won't hear in your churches in Canada or just about anywhere else in your country today. What is the gospel? Oh, good works, they'll tell you. Social work, you know. Helping the poor. Oh, they'll feed you, they'll dance for you, they'll sing for you, they'll play music for you, they'll do all kinds of things, but they won't tell you what the gospel is, because the majority of them don't even know what it is. It's this, friends, Christ died for sinners, and after the third day rose again from the dead. It's this, friends, that Christ died for the ungodly. Christ, a person, not a religion, not an instituted religion or society. Jesus, a person. Jesus Christ, by faith in Jesus Christ, a person, is justified, made right with God. A person, friends. And what are you dead? What are you doing, dude?
I'm alright,
man. Are you?
Yeah, I'm alright.
Yeah, but you're not believing, eh? So you can't be alright.
Nah, Satan's my savior.
No, he's not. He's here to hell with himself. Repent, believe the gospel, young man. Repent, believe the gospel, that's the answer. So like I say, a person, you see, Christ, it's a person you have to trust in, and you have to trust in what He did, you see, not what you do, because what you do is like filthy rags, you see. Your righteousness, as God says, are like filthy rags in His sight. That's your good deeds, girls. That's your good deeds, not your bad ones. They're even worse. They're even worse. They're even worse. So you see, friends, what He did, what did He do, you say? Well, He died. He died in the place of others. He died for sinners. He died for the ungodly. He died. He died for the unrighteous. He died for those who are not right with God, so that they could be justified through faith in His person and His work, His dying on the cross, His death, you see. His blood shed for sinners that washes them, that clears them in the courts of heaven. You see, there had to be a death. The Old Testament, the prophet Moses, he says, without shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. Well, God Himself, you see, has provided the blood sacrifice. His own Son, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And would take your sin away this afternoon, should you believe, should you trust in Him. By faith, you see, by the faith of Jesus Christ, that's how a person is justified, is made right with God. By trusting in Jesus Christ, His person and what He did, His dying, and His rising again from the dead. He said, before it came to that, He said, I have the power, the authority, that is, to lay down my my life and take it again. I mean, whoever said that before, and whoever said it before since then and done it? Nobody. But that's exactly what he did. His life wasn't taken from him. He wasn't killed. Friends, he laid down his life. He laid down his life for those that would believe in his name, that they might be justified before God. Jesus done it, see? And through his resurrection, through his taking up his life again, he's alive, you see, alive forevermore. And says, now I am the resurrection and the life, the one who is able to impart life eternal to people like you and I today. That is, who believe, who trust in him and his person and in his work. Christ died, you see. And who did he die for? The ungodly. Those who are contrary to God in their nature and contrary to God in their practice. Contrary to God every which way. Well, that's you, to a man, to a woman, your children. We and our children are conceived and born in sin and therefore children of wrath. Until that is, we've been born again. Until that is, God changes the nature. Until God gives the repentance that's necessary. Until God gives the faith that's necessary for salvation. Because all these, you see, are gifts from God. You might as well try and pull yourself up by your bootlaces and try and believe yourself. How could you possibly do that? Huh? Believe you? This is impossible. But of course not with God. He's the giver of good gifts. I mean, he gives you bread on your table. He gives you water to drink. He provides with for you everything that you have need of. In his goodness, wisdom, and power. Well, it's all manifest right before you day after day. And every time you look at his creation, every time you look in the mirror, you see a man, a woman made in the image of God. You see it all. And so therefore you without excuse, you don't get a leg to stand on. And you're in big serious trouble. You breathe your last before you're born again. There was one good bishop once. Only one though. And he said, a long time ago, he said, if a man's not born again, the day will come when he'll wish he had never been born at all. So you see, friends, getting right with God, justified that is, that's a $64 million question. Questions posed in the Bible. How is a man justified, made right with God? Answered by faith. By the faith of Jesus Christ. No other way. No other way. But of course you could ask, couldn't you? I mean, Jesus does say, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. You could seek after him. He does say in his word that, you know, that a person seeks after him, he will find him. Even the Old Testament, you know, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, his pattern of living, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, his thinking, wrong thinking, unbelieving thinking, godless thinking. Abandon, give it up, forsake it. Turn from all that you know to be sin and turn to God through his Son Jesus Christ. Maybe perhaps he'll smile upon you, who knows? But maybe with the knowledge, and you have to have knowledge, you can have faith, saving faith, I mean, or you can believe. You can believe in any one of your world religions. You can believe in Santa Claus. You can believe in the man in the moon. And doubtless some of you do. Or you can believe anything. But you can't believe in the living and true God through his Son, Jesus Christ, unless God gives you the faith. Without God's help, this is impossible. But maybe I could suggest to you, the starting place for you would be to read God's Word. You know, gain some knowledge. Some knowledge, you know, that you know, that for a change might be profitable, you know? And I mean profitable for your salvation, for your eternal welfare, because the day's coming. You know, like it or not, young or old. I heard of a young woman this morning, I was told of, went to the doctor and she was given 2 weeks to live. You know, who knows, but maybe even this is your last day on planet Earth. You're going to breathe your last. We all got to die of something sometime. It's coming. It's the only one thing that you can guarantee. You know, these young dudes here, look, they're all going to college. They're all getting ready for life. Hey, what are you going to be, boys? Rocket scientists? Doubt it. No guarantee you're going to get there. What you should be preparing for is for death, because that's the one, the only thing that you can guarantee. You're going to die one day, and after that, the judgment. So friends, it's important. It's more important, I tell you, than you even breathe, that you be right with God. Repent ye and believe the gospel, says Jesus. For the kingdom of God is at hand, and because you cannot enter his kingdom without that repentance and faith towards him, the Son of God. So you get it? Knowing knowledge, knowing that a man is not justified, made right with God, that is, by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus, and that's why I come to tell you, that you too might be saved, that you too might occupy heaven and not hell. That you might go to heaven when you die. That you might hear these words from God, you know, when you die and enter into his presence. Well done, good and faithful, full of faith, servant. Instead of, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So friends, it's like I say, it's all in God's word. You don't have to take my word for these things. Take God's word. Take it home with you. Read to yourself. See that these things are indeed so, just as God says. It's childlike, simple, childlike faith. That's what's required. Said to become as children. And of course, repent, be converted, you shall no wise enter into God's kingdom. If you like a copy of God's word, check these things out for yourself, then it's offered to you freely without any cost or obligation to you. Just got to come and ask for one, that's all, but it's God's word, it's on offer. Repent ye and believe the gospel, says Jesus. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. You like a copy of God's word? You come and ask for